Good afternoon. And welcome to St. John Lutheran Church for this, our fourth Lenten midweek service following Ash Wednesday. We'll have one more Lenten midweek service next Wednesday. Following week after that, of course, then is Holy Week. Services will be on Thursday and Friday of that week, 3:30 and 7:15. If you are a guest or visiting with us, we do extend a special greeting and welcome to you. We're glad you're here, along with all of our members alike. A reminder to fill out the attendance card you can find in your pews. Our ushers do collect them as they collect the offering midway through the service. There will not be a meal following this service as it is spring break, but we'll have one more meal next Wednesday following that service, and that'll be soups, hot dogs, and the like, so you're welcome to join us for that. Now, you will also find in your bulletin the form for Easter Lily donations. If you haven't filled those out already, you can still do so, and those will be used then to decorate the sanctuary in celebration of Easter. Order of service for tonight is Divine Service Setting 3, beginning on page 184 in our hymnal. Thankful to Mrs. Alicia Hagen for playing on the organ for us here this afternoon. We sing now our first hymn, 432, In Silent Pain, the Eternal Son. Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart, and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office, as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto you all. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Created world to conquer sin and death. By your victory over the tempter as one of us, strengthen our faith whenever it is under duress. Hear us, Jesus Christ, for you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. The Old Testament reading for our fourth Lenten midweek service is from Deuteronomy chapter 32. But Jeshurun grew fat and kicked. You grew fat, stout and sleek. Then he forsook God who made him and scoffed at the rock of his salvation. They stirred him to jealousy with strange gods, with abominations. They provoked him to anger. They sacrificed to demons that were not God, to gods they had never known, to new gods that had come recently, whom your fathers had never dreaded. You were unmindful of the rock that bore you, and you forgot the God who gave you birth. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from Romans chapter 8. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of God does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 15th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Now at the feast he used to release for them one prisoner for whom they asked. And among the rebels in prison who had committed murder in the insurrection, there was a man called Barabbas. The crowd came up and began to ask Pilate to do as he usually did for them. And he answered them, saying, "Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?"
For he perceived that it was out of envy that the chief priests had delivered him up. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have him release for them Barabbas instead. And Pilate again said to them, "Then what shall I do with the man you call the King of the Jews?" And they cried out again, "Crucify him." Pilate said to them, "Why, what evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Crucify him." So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released for them Barabbas. And having scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. The soldiers led him away inside the palace, that is, the governor's headquarters, and they called together the whole battalion. They clothed him in a purple cloak, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on him. And they began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" They were striking his head with a reed and spitting on him and kneeling down in homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put his own clothes on him, and they led him out to crucify him. They compelled a passerby, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to carry his cross. And they brought him to the place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided his garments among them, casting lots for them to decide what each should take. And it was the third hour when they crucified him. And the inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." With him they crucified two robbers, one on the right and one on his left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "Aha, you who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." So also the chief priests with the scribes mocked him to one another, saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross, that we may see and believe." Those who were crucified with him also reviled him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
Together we confess the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. And in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Proceeded now as the hymn of the day is sung.
Thank you.
Text for this afternoon's message is from Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 13. They came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes. And when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. He lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been bound with shackles and chains, but he wrenched the chains apart, and he broke the shackles in pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before him. Crying out with a loud voice, he said, "What have you to do with us, or me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you, by God, do not torment me." For he was saying to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he begged him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Now a great herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him, saying, "Send us to the pigs, let us enter them." So he gave them permission, and the unclean spirits came out and entered the pigs. And the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea and were drowned in the sea. This is the gospel and the text for our message. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As we near the end of our Lenten meditation upon Jesus for us, according to the great hymn, O Love, How Deep, we return to an aspect of our earlier meditation. This hymn has brought to light in a poignant way the very true love of God for us, for all sinners. Early on, attention was drawn to the very fact that God did not send an angel into our flesh in order to save us. And God did not become an angel to save angels. Instead, he chose to become a man to save mankind. The holy angels have accepted this reality and humbly worship and praise God for this, his great sign of grace. But what about the unholy angels? We know them better as demons, but fallen angels is what they are. God did not create anything to be evil. All that he made was indeed very good, including all of the angels. So what happened? And how does that impact everything in history and thus today? Now, to be sure, we are never told precisely what happened with the angels. It is fairly safe to say they were part of God's creation in the first 6 days of his work, their time of testing, and thus their opportunity to reject God must have been before Adam and Eve's fall into sin. St. Paul later warns Pastor Timothy that new converts to Christianity should not become pastors yet because they may become conceited and suffer the same judgment as the devil. Many theologians then throughout history have considered Satan's original sin as that of pride. But what exactly was Satan too proud of to accept from God? And that we are not told. Based on our readings from Hebrews a couple of weeks earlier, it may have to do well with what God had promised to do, to send his own son to become mortal, to become a human being in order to save human sinners, rather than become an angel or to send an angel to save angels. And if that was part of the testing for the angels, that could certainly have led to Satan's fall. In Revelation chapter 12, we hear of the great red dragon who swept down a third of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth. Other parts of Revelation speak of those stars as angels. So the idea of one third of the angels fell with Satan is drawn from those words. The book of Job sees the angels of God presenting themselves before God in heaven and pictures Satan right there in the midst of them. Satan and the fallen angels are thus permitted to roam freely throughout the earth. St. Paul later says of Satan, like a roaring lion he goes, seeking any he can to devour. The intent of the fallen angels is only evil all the time. They want to harm all of mankind, physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. And they are good at what they do, for they have been at work ever since the fall into sin, well over 6,000 years. Great Lutheran theologian Francis Pieper wrote that the unbelieving world is controlled by the devil and the fallen angels. Of course, we are by nature sinful and unclean, as we confess, since we have inherited from Adam our own sin. By nature, then, we are the natural born enemies of God. Jesus spoke of Satan as the strong man. And this world in which we live is Satan's house. All then who are born into this world belong to the devil and to his angels. This is what we confess in our baptismal liturgy. The Word of God also teaches that we are all conceived and born sinful and are under the power of the devil until Christ claims us as his own. We would be lost forever unless delivered from sin, death, and the power and everlasting condemnation. For in Ephesians chapter 2, Paul writes, "You were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience." While God is, of course, God over all things, the devil is still the prince of this world. He is having his little season now, permitted by God to do his worst work. But as Luther rightly understood, the devil is still God's devil. Even what Satan is busy doing is not beyond God's power to work together for good for those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. And the greatest demonstration of that sacred truth is with Jesus himself. Not once does Jesus ever show any weakness in the presence of the demons or of the devil. Even after 40 days of no food, Jesus strongly resisted the temptations of the tempter. And as in the gospel reading for today, Jesus has complete and total lordship, ownership over all of the fallen angels. In fact, they are the first in creation in Jesus' ministry to recognize who he truly is. What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Their knowledge of who Jesus is more evidence that they despise God's plan of sending his beloved Son into our human flesh. And note the reaction of the demon whose name is Legion. It is fear, complete and utter fear. For this powerful demon who had bound this man for so long cowered before Jesus. He even admits to the eternal punishment that awaits him and Satan and all whom the dragon has swept down away from God. While the demon in this case does most of the talking, he has the least power. And this is true in many ways for us as well. We are rather proficient at excusing away our sins and talking our way out of trouble, but into more evil. We also face the evil found in others and try to reason with them for peace and resolution. But sadly, there does come a time when such speaking is futile. The only option is firm rebuke, as the Lord Jesus does with the demon. Come out of the man, you unclean spirit, and get behind me, Satan, as Jesus said to his own beloved disciple, Peter. The devil and the fallen angels continue on in their work against God, against his people, and against his holy church. It is important to remember that the devil and his angels are still limited. They are not equals to God, not even close. They cannot be in all places at all times. And unless there are more angels than humans, the chance that a demon is attacking you specifically is not as great as you might think. For our sinful nature is quite treacherous and poisonous in and of itself. But certainly we are surrounded constantly by the evil of the devil and of his fallen angels. This does remain the prowling ground of Satan, but he too is chained. He is limited, and he is held in check now and forever by what the Lord Jesus has already accomplished. For into the world governed by the darkness and the sin and the treachery of Satan came Jesus, the Son of God, the light of the world. God's own Son was immaculately conceived, being free from sin. Blow one against the devil. The devil, though, threw every single temptation at Jesus that he could, desperate for any kind of win. But no success. Jesus resisted every one. Blow two against the devil. Satan even rejoiced at the very death of Jesus upon the cross, thinking that victory was now in his grasp. But the resurrection of Christ 3 days later was blow three. The devil and his angels lie in ruins. They are constantly butting up now against the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that is continually proclaimed throughout the world. And through baptism, more and more goods are being plundered from the strong man and secured in the kingdom of God. The Lord Jesus has granted the very perfect and complete healing from all demons. And on the last day, when Christ comes again in his great power and glory, forever will the devil and the fallen angels be cast away from you to the place created for them, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And off you will go into the very bliss of paradise with the Lord Jesus leading you forever. Amen. Now the peace that passes all of our human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. We stand to sing the offertory.
Away.
once more as the tithes and offerings are collected.
We stand for prayer.
Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, your mercies are new every morning, and though we deserve only punishment, you receive us as your children and provide for all our needs of body and soul. Grant that we may heartily acknowledge your merciful goodness, give thanks for all your benefits, and serve you in willing obedience. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
O Lord, when the guilty was chosen instead of your Son, and he went to the cross, we saw both the depth of our sin and the greatness of your mercy. Deliver us from every pride and arrogance, that in humility of faith and repentance we may abide in Christ and he in us all the days of our lives. Lord, in your mercy. Mighty monarch of all our days, to you we commend all those who have been entrusted with authority here in our land. Grant to them wisdom to discern properly what is best for all the people they govern. Grant them integrity and honor in all that they undertake, and guide them into the paths that are pleasing to you. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
O God, the strength of all who are weak, and the consolation of all who put their trust in you, mercifully accept our prayers on behalf of all of your servants who suffer in any type of way, from illness or injury, undergoing medical treatments or recovering from surgery, from loneliness, being bound to their homes. We pray especially for those we name before you in our hearts. that by your power their troubles may be turned to joys according to your good and gracious will. Lord, in your mercy. Father of our Lord Jesus, your Son has prepared for his family a feast, that we might not grow weary in the struggle or despair of your mercy, but find constant renewal. Grant to all those who come to the holy altar this day repentant hearts and firm trust in the promise of the Savior, that here they will receive with his body and blood the forgiveness of all sins and the gift of a life that death cannot take away. Lord, in your mercy. O God, from whom come all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works, give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments, and also that we, being defended from the fear of our enemies, may live in peace and quietness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
Kingdom and the power and Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
We stand to sing the post-communion hymn. Fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh. We thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament, and we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Seated now as the closing hymn is sung.